Joseph Lindsley is the editor of Lviv Now and founder of the Lviv Lab for the Activation of Democracy. Let's go live to Ukraine right now. And Joseph, I hope it was a quiet weekend. How was it?
Hey, Bob. Good morning. Good afternoon to you all. Yeah, it was. It was very quiet here in Lviv. Well, it was quiet. We had very few air raid alerts and a beautiful sunny weekend finally in the 60s. You feel spring in the air. And the streets were filled. The outdoor cafes were filled with people. The streets were filled with people. You know, there are a lot of refugees from all over the country here in Lviv. And if you were to just walk in Lviv, as I did yesterday, for example, let's say you were newly arrived here as a reporter, you might feel that there was a celebratory, atmosphere in the city. And I was sort of thinking this at first. Everyone seemed a bit too happy. And then I realized, sort of, looking at each individual person, I was standing in a circle of people listening to a choir on a balcony singing a patriotic song. And I realized that everyone here is feeling the same uncertainty, the same angst. A lot of these people have escaped their homes in eastern Ukraine. And I really, there was the outward sort of joy of that Sunday afternoon on a sunny day, which I think people needed. But deep in everyone's heart is the pain of what's happened in the past and the great uncertainty of what's going to happen. It's probably, we're getting closer to that May 9th day, and that's really weighing on people's minds at the moment.
Mm-hmm. That's the date that people believe Putin will want to do something or show some accomplishment. Is that it?
There's some people who've studied Putin a lot, say that he cares a lot about dates and numbers in that sense. February 24th, which was the day that this full-scale invasion began, that was the same day in 2014 that the pro-Putin regime fled from Kyiv in the peaceful revolution of the Revolution of Dignity in 2014. So that date carried a lot of significance. And May 9th is the anniversary of the Russians, of the defeat of the Nazis in World War II. And traditionally, there's a massive parade, probably the biggest parade of the year at the Kremlin, a military parade. And Putin wants to have something to show for it. And there's a fear that he could unleash, something even worse than what we've seen so far. On the other hand, Boris Johnson, the past few days, I think has been trying to calm the situation down. And he's even said, look, Putin can claim a victory and there is a way for him to save face. This is what the prime minister of the UK said, because Putin already lies to his people anyway. So he could simply tell them it's been successful and we can everyone can go home. That came from the prime minister of the UK. Hmm. And I think it really was an attempt to, probably out of fear, that this could get worse and try to keep the situation at least somewhat under control in his mind.
Yeah, well, that would be good. Let's hope he does just lie again and say we won and just get out of there. It's interesting to hear you talk about people kind of carrying on over the weekend as if they weren't there in the middle of this tragedy when you hear the news about what's going on in Mariupol. And by the way, what's the latest on that evacuation?
Well, it seems that I think at least 100 citizens were evacuated in the past 24 hours. And, the evacuation is there was one report that the Russians are interrogating these people as they evacuate to make sure that they're not Ukrainian military. And this was reported in the BBC, but one Russian soldier reportedly said to a Ukrainian woman, are you sure you want to go to Ukraine? Because we're coming there. We're the place you're going to evacuate. We're coming there soon. And so really, treating these people pretty horribly. There still are reportedly civilians in the steel plant. They've been living there sort of in darkness for more than a month now with the remaining soldiers of the battalion that was trying to hold on to the city. And so Ukraine still has a foothold in the city of Mariupol. Every picture I've seen of that city, it's absolutely in ruins. And it's really hard to imagine this thriving industrial and really pleasant city on the sea has been put into smoldering ruins.
Mm-hmm. But I guess you have to get a break from that occasionally, which is why what's going on there is, as you describe, people out and about in the cafes, and they're listening to music. And Joseph, tell us about this this clip that you sent us. I want to play a few seconds of it in a second, but this is the Bruce Springsteen of Ukraine. Is that right?
Yeah, his name is Slava Vakarchuk, and his father was a famous professor. He died last year, you know, well-respected Ukrainian intellectual. And Slava himself has a PhD in physics, which, you know, it's, you have to be quite intelligent to achieve that. But in the 90s, he created a band called Oki and Elzy. And it's it was a band that sort of helped Ukrainians get through that difficult time of the 90s when they were leaving the Soviet era. And so through the revolutions of 2004 and 2014, this band and Slava in particular were, you know, they sort of the narrators of Ukrainian life and of the reawakening of Ukrainian life. And he became so popular, he served in parliament twice, and he was popular enough that he was, when Zelensky won the presidency in 2019, Vakarchuk was one of the potential guys who could have challenged Zelensky at that time. And anyway, so this song that you're going to play is called Na Nebi, and I think it's sort of the street anthem of Lviv. You hear every day before the war, you would hear people singing this song on the cobbled streets of Lviv, and it captures the Ukrainian sense of poetry and optimism, I would say.
Here's a little bit of it. Joseph, you mentioned that before the war, almost every night there would be musicians out and about, people singing, crowds of people everywhere. Any music anymore these days in Lviv?
Yeah, you know, the first few weeks there was no music. And even, you know, even during we had one very strict lockdown in March 2020, March and April. And there was still music in the streets then. But those first 2 weeks of the war, the streets were silent. And that was, you saw the, you know, it felt like the soul was being killed. But the music has come back. And you know, in the center of Lviv, there's no cars. So there's this wide area of cobblestone streets. And yesterday, there was music everywhere. You know, all the music like we just heard, choirs of people, people playing the violin. And really, that's why it was such an incongruous day. But I think people also really, Ukrainians need their festivity and they need their music. And without it, I think those things give them energy that they're going to need for whatever lies ahead.
You know, music makes all of us feel better. Joseph, I've saved my most important question for last. Did you get to meet Angelina Jolie?
No, she was very elusive. I think we might have been near her in traffic as I was going around on Saturday. But, you know, I did. I was sitting across in my regular cafe from Liev Schreiber. I didn't know it was him, and he was taking a video. And, you know, you got to be careful of people taking videos here. So I kind of gave him a bad look. And then I saw he posted on Instagram, the actor Liev Schreiber, that he was in here in Lviv. And we're in this phase now where we're starting to get some Hollywood celebrities, which is great. They can share, you know, the awareness of what's happening. But there is a sense that there's another calm before the storm right now.
Yes. Well, we'll put the word out. Any glamorous Hollywood celebrities who visit Ukraine must stop in to see Joseph Lindsley in Lviv. All the best to you, and hopefully it'll be another safe evening for you, Joseph. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob.